Welcome to episode 168 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, we read Attack on Titan, the manga. And now, the cast begins.
So, you know, of all the stuff that we've read, like, over the last 6 months, the one thing that I'm really wishing I could read more of is Jungle Girl. I was sitting there today thinking, you know what I really want to keep, like, read more of is Jungle Girl. And I finished the omnibus. I finished it. And I'm, like, sad that there's not more. I really genuinely, like, wish that there was more Jungle Girl. So I started looking into more stuff by that artist, but I don't know if that's going to be any bit good either.
Yeah. Jungle Girl was certainly unique. Is there only the one omnibus?
Yeah, so that's all that they ever made.
Okay.
That creative team, anyway. Jungle Girl, I think, is... I don't know about an older property, but it's inspired from a lot of different stuff. Like, there's almost the exact same thing. Exact same vibe. Like, three or four different times over. But I don't know if it's the same quality. And I don't just mean, like, you know, quality, but I mean, like, you know, actual quality.
Yeah, no, it was not bad.
So Omar wanted me to play tomorrow, and Lucia talked me into playing, or allowed me to go play, so I'll be playing in the Realms Championship thing.
Oh, shit. What team are you going to bring?
So I'm going to play an Arkham Asylum team.
Hey!
With Deathstroke, Black Mask, Shiva, the Riddler, and Deathlok from Wolverine and the X-Men. Because he's an assassin.
That fits.
And then I'm going to use the Bat Signal.
That sounds... I don't want to play against that.
Well, I'm not trying to, like, be, like, super... I don't really care about winning. But I don't want to get... completely flattened, you know?
Yeah, that'll be fun and competitive. And the thing is, like, you have to show up with something like that, or you're gonna have a fucking terrible time, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just throw together a bunch of pieces that you think are neat.
Well, I mean, I think these pieces are neat.
Yeah, but I mean, like you can't go in there with the kind of team that I would build.
Well, Brandon spent the day on Facebook talking to Omar, and he came up with a Masters of Evil / Thunderbolts team it's like Masters, it's a Baron Zemo plus, basically it lets Brandon play Thunderbolts. And what's cool is, like, Deathstroke, Black Mask, Shiva, and Riddler all can use Batman enemy team abilities, so they can share attack values. And Deathlok is just a really beefy figure. I think it'll be fun. Like, I'll be more than happy to just get eliminated in the first round. Because I had no intention of playing, and I put this team together, like, in the last hour.
Yeah, so it's not like you're going to go into it with huge expectations either.
Yeah.
Yep. What's a good word for today?
Titanic.
It's too obvious.
Skinless? you can use, say,
Gargantuan?
Something about a hunter?
They called it a colossal titan in our translation. Yeah.
Yep, that's
I don't think Titanic's too obvious.
Okay.
What about three-dimensional?
Oh!
I like that. Okay. All right. Okay, everybody. Welcome to another three-dimensional episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with...
You're supposed to say our names. How will we know who says hello first?
Okay, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hello.
And Jen.
Hello.
So I'm in a weird mood. I've been playing with, like, children for the last 4 hours.
Okay.
That's weird.
Like, like a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Okay.
So, not like all there intellectually right now. I've been reading about bunny rabbits and shit.
And now we're going to talk about naked giants that eat people.
So, that's fine. They're naked, but they're, what's the word? Androgynous. It's okay.
Well, they don't have genitals at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this week we read Attack on Titan. What's the name of the volume? I don't know. Is there any volume one of Attack
volume
on Titan?
Volume one.
By Isayama Hajime. Did I get that
right?
Yes! I nailed a Japanese name for one.
You're not bad at them. Well, now say the title of the manga. Say the Japanese title of the manga.
Oh, fuck. I don't even have that written down anywhere.
Oh.
Send me a link.
Shingeki no Kyojin.
Well, now I'm cheating. Shingeki no Kyojin. See, but I would have said Shingeki, I would have gotten. No, I would have said Kyojin.
Close enough.
Kyojin.
Kyojin. Shingeki no Kyojin. Anyway, that's what we read. So this is a new thing that we're doing. We're reading the manga, the first volume of the manga, this week. And then next week, we're going to start watching the anime, where it picks up after the manga.
There's actually going to be a slight overlap of chapter 4 of the manga and the anime, but I think we decided it still ends up making a bit of sense because it's a complete story for the anime. So
yeah, no, and that's perfect because I want to see a direct comparison because I'm really interested. You guys have been like coconuts over this Attack on Titan anime for a while. Like,
right.
There were points where you two were so excited to talk to each other pre-show that I had to put down the headphones and walk away while you guys could chat, and then I could come back and rejoin the conversation. Like, so it's gotten to that point.
Now you can join our club.
Yeah,
so you're good.
The only problem is that, like, you guys have been, like, all in on this anime, and I am, like, I'm not having a good time with the manga.
Go ahead, Jen.
Oh, I was really at a loss for what I wanted to say this week because I have read all except last month's issue. So even the stuff that's not been collected or officially translated yet. Mm. And, oh my God, going back to the first one, the story is slow and the art, you can tell it's really the beginning of a series.
Okay, good. So it's not just, I thought it was because, okay, whenever we do manga, the first thing I do is go on this manga reader app I have on Android called Mango. And it pulls from like 5 or 6 different fan translation sites. And so I got a fan translation. I was like, okay, maybe this just feels really bad because the fan translation is really shitty. And you can tell. You can tell where the translator did something dumb. Right? Like, what's a good example of that? Fuck, David, you had a bad translation too. Do you have a good example?
Well, there's a part in volume, I think it's volume 3, where, chapter 3, where Eren is fighting the Colossal.
Oh, yeah, I think I know which one you're talking about.
And he calls him a douchebag.
Yes.
It's like, come on. They didn't even try, you know? It's like, he wouldn't say, like, a person in that setting, maybe they use the term douchebag, but I feel like that's not what you would call a giant that's trying to eat your
human race.
Yeah,
humanity.
You know,
I wouldn't call him a douche. I mean, he is a douchebag, but that's not what would come
to mind. It's not like he has a flat-brimmed hat or a popped collar or something.
I actually saw that in the notes and thought it was a scene when he and Gene were fighting.
No,
he calls the Colossal Titan.
Really?
The
oh my God! Yes. Okay, so I own the volume, and that doesn't happen.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
I have no. I was 100% sure that that's not like a real like you know, an actual like Viz or whoever translated.
No.
They would not use.
So you can, like, instances like that, you can completely tell it's a shitty fan translation.
Like, I understand that translation is,
it's
you know, there's interpretation involved because there isn't always a one-to-one translation between languages. I feel confident that the Japanese did not say the equivalent of douchebag, whatever that might be.
Not in that situation. But yeah. I will say, the good translations, these are adult comics, and they drop a good number of F-bombs, and I'm pretty freaking sure that the term douchebag is used from time to time.
But
it's context, right? Yeah. I do want to actually... I read two really bad translations before I managed to get my hands on the actual, like, volumes. One was, like, Deep South. So people said things like, howdy. And I quote you, shucks, the Titans are coming. And then, so...
I just choked on my beer.
Andy, here is Tumblr fodder for you. And oh my god, after this we have to post a bunch on Tumblr because this has exploded on the internet and there's a lot of great stuff. But there is a famous fan translation of a character we don't see in here, unfortunately, who is extremely sassy, and they go into the forest. And his line got translated into something along the lines of, look at all these huge fucking big-ass trees.
That's very interesting. I mean, that's Levi, definitely...
by the way.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes.
These four chapters is all that I've read of the manga, but I'm caught up on the anime, and yeah, I don't see Levi saying that kind of thing.
No.
See, it might be weird for the character, but honestly, I could, in some world, see a situation where maybe, like, a young Aaron would say something like that. Somebody who's obsessed with the outside world and finally gets out there and is surrounded by the trees and is just completely taken aback by them. And be like, look at these huge fucking big-ass trees! I could honestly see that. But maybe I can only see that because I read a version where Aaron calls the Colossal Titan a douchebag.
It just doesn't work.
Okay. But I'm glad that it's not just the translation that put me off, because, like, honestly, the art was bad, the story was slow, and it's like...
The anime is kind of slow, too. Like, how many episodes do we have so far? 26 or so, probably?
24 or 26, yeah.
And, like, the first 12 are... They're kind of a slog. But, you know... I'm trying not to compare this to the anime since we're going to watch it next week's episode.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's hard for me to separate them because my first exposure to this was the anime. And I loved it. I thought it was awesome. So, you know, having trouble separating the two.
Yeah, to give some context as well, I think I've mentioned before I'm, like, totally obsessed with this. And I want to just put out there right now, if I had started with Volume 1 of the manga, I would not be. I would have put it down and never come back. And this actually happened when my boyfriend, who is ever so smart, decided that we should watch it on Hulu. And he just clicked the first thing on the screen. And, of course, this was the season finale. So we watched the season finale first, and it was really exciting, and lots of stuff happened, and it was dynamic, and the characters were developed, and we're like, wow, this is great. And then we realized we watched the end of the season. So we went back and watched the whole thing, and that's kind of how that came about. So I will say it does pick up, I guarantee you. It becomes really good, but you do have to deal with crap first, basically. Yeah.
I really do believe it, because the premise that's set up is that humanity is only what's in these walls, right? And this Colossal Titan, I mean, let's face it, they have nothing. From what I can see in Volume 1, the humans have nothing that can really feasibly stop this thing. I mean, sure, there's Aaron out there trying to be a badass, but... no, this thing is just going to rampage and destroy the fuck out of the city. Everything that's in it, these people are fucked. And so I imagine a situation some point down the line where they're going to have to either abandon the city or radically change the entire civilization's way of life. And when we get there, I really want to see that. I want to see what this culture does, how it breaks, how it changes. But what I get here, I really don't care. I mean, I kind of do. When the Titan shows up, it's exciting, you know? And I think part of it is that as bad as the art is... The Colossal Titan, the way it's, like, skinless, the way it's just freakish, like, it works. even though the art's not good, it works. That Colossal Titan is fucking frightening. Even in this, where it's slow, where you know nothing, that thing is scary. Especially the way it just, like, peeks over the wall. It's just, like, it has no expression, but you can see all the teeth, and it's every time I saw him poke over the wall, it's like, hi, everybody!
Yeah, it's actually been called, I think, like, the Walking Dead of Japan.
Hmm.
And I don't know, how does it hold up, do you think, as a horror genre thing? Because, zombies kind of go the same way. They can be, like, really ridiculously dumb, or they can be really scary.
Well, I think what's cool about... Well, so comparing these to zombies, I think we just have seen so many different variations on zombies over the years that we have... we as media consumers... you know, have expectations about how zombies are supposed to act, and so there's no mystery. This, you know, there are some similarities to zombies. I mean, they're eating people. They appear to be mindless, you know, so far, except for the Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan. Although I guess the Armored Titan hasn't been named in this. It's the Titan that broke through the wall in volume, not through the wall, through the gate in chapter one. The one that they said wasn't, their weapons couldn't harm it.
Oh, the one just like ran in?
Yeah.
Okay. So,
you know, those, there's a lot of mystery involved still with with the Titan. So to me, that's more interesting than a zombie.
Yeah.
Well, so to answer your question, Jen, about how does this count as a horror genre? You know, they are terrifying creatures. So yeah, I guess you could call this a horror genre. I mean, we get, you know, it's like humanity's last stand. It's, I guess you could say it's an apocalyptic situation.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the overlap is. It's apocalyptic. It's survival, like survivalist themes, you know, which is very common, very like same tangent with zombies. But it's interesting because I had never, before you even said that, I'd never heard that correlation. But when I sat down to start typing in the notes, I was going to say, this reminds me a lot about zombie literature. And then it was already there in the notes. You know,
well, one thing I appreciate this as an apocalyptic setting is that it's not dystopian. Well, yeah. At least in the sense that we get with things like Mad Max or
yes.
No, that's the exact thing I was going to bring up. It's
same
way,
here.
It's way more like Walking Dead than Mad Max, and it's.
But I think it's even less dystopian than The Walking Dead because, you know, in Walking Dead they're. And when I'm talking about Walking Dead for our listeners out there, I've read a lot of the comic, but I've only watched season one of the show. So that's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the comic. Mm-hmm. There is a community in the show, you know, with the survivors that are around Rick and Carl and, you know, those people. But here with the Titan, Attack on Titan, it's like,
it's a big
city.
There's
civilization.
Yeah. I don't know how many people there are, but it's a big town.
Yeah, and people, you know, for those 100 years where there were no Titan attacks, you know, people, you know, they were inside the walls, but they went about and did people things. They weren't in survival mode for those 100 years, even though they were still in this apocalyptic setting, you know, as far as we know. Because we only get the perspective of the people living inside these walls. Maybe there's more people out there somewhere in the world. We don't know. So it's a little bit different, and I appreciate that. And I kind of like this slightly medieval, I guess you could call it steampunk setting. I mean, there are steampunk
their three-dimensional attack stuff is very much steampunky.
Yeah.
Yes.
They use a I don't think we get it in here, but there's a gas that's used to propel them through the air.
Oh, there was a page in my fan translation where it lays out how the whole thing works.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I remember that page.
I gotta say, on the one hand, I saw that and I was like, oh, come on. You couldn't just, like, organically explain it through the course of a story. But then I was, on the other hand, I'm like, if you organically explain this, you're going to leave out a ton of gaps and it might feel half-assed. But because you went into it in this kind of detail, and at the bottom of the page it says, thanks such and such person for all the scientific help. And I'm like, oh, this guy actually sat down and thought about how maybe this could really kind of happen. And I appreciated the depth of thought put behind it, and that wouldn't have been, it would have been really difficult to work that in organically in this story. And in a story that's already running pretty slow.
Yeah, I think the supplementary material for this is really nice because it's stuff that doesn't necessarily add to the plot in any way or character development, but it's cool stuff about, like, the universe. So that's pretty nice. And you don't actually get much of the universe because, you know, nobody even knows what's outside the walls.
Yeah, which I think is really the most interesting thing. Because, David, you say we don't even know if there are other towns like this in other places. And it made me remember there's some point where somebody's giving, like, a lecture about what they know about Titans. And I was like, wow, these people are more, they're more fucked by their own ignorance than they are by the Titans. Like, is there, like, an island in the middle of the ocean? Or are these people, like, on that island? Are these Titans only on Japan? If this is Earth? Like, they know nothing. What if they could build giant boats and go across the ocean and there will be no Titans? Like, there's just so much they don't know that it's their own ignorance is what's crippling them and making them stay in the city almost as much as the Titans. Like, if they could just know a little bit more about the fucking world around them. But yeah. They can't, because they can't leave the wall or they'll be screwed.
Yeah, and actually, just, I think, as a nice breadcrumb for getting anyone who was turned off by this volume into the rest of the series, that's exactly what the series is about, like, figuring out what the fuck is out there and how to fix this problem. So they do get outside the walls a bit, and that's refreshing.
Because they really know nothing, and you kind of get a sense that even if the Titans aren't intelligent per se, they're evolving somehow in a direction to destroy humanity, right? And so maybe they're not overtly intelligent. Maybe it is through a process of evolution, and it took them 100 years to evolve to the point where they have things like the Armored Titan and the Colossal Titan, and they just did it through natural evolution somehow. But, I mean, without natural selection, you wouldn't have evolution in that direction anyway, so it's kind of weird like that. But maybe they have some kind of, maybe they're like kaiju. Who knows? That's the thing, is it could be any fucking explanation at this point. It could be anything. And I really hope it is kaiju, because Aaron's last name is Jaeger.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It would be great if they were just like kaiju and came out of a rift somewhere and somebody was building them.
Interdimensional aliens?
Yeah, or, I don't know, some fucking stupid divine retribution story. But I want to know where they're coming from. I think that's the most interesting thing for me, is where they're coming from and what they're doing. Because the lecturer makes clear, right? Like, they're not there to... They don't need the humans for sustenance. They've been out there for 100 years. They obviously don't need us for sustenance.
Yeah, and that actually comes up in the show. Or later in the story is, you know, why is it that they... Why do they eat humans if they don't need to do it?
Yeah, because it's not just a matter of killing humans. They don't kill humans. I mean, they kill humans, but they're not, like, stepping on them, tearing them apart. You know, they're not smashing them with their hands. They're straight up fucking eating them, which is a very... It's a very, I think, important distinction. I don't know why yet, but that better be an important distinction somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
The fact that they're getting eaten rather than anything else.
And it's a question a lot of the characters ask, too. Like, why do they kill humans in this way? It's especially confusing, because if something is coming in and eats you, but it doesn't need sustenance or have a digestive tract, what the fuck is it doing?
Yeah.
Right? So, that actually adds, a nice amount of grim dark, too, because it's just, horrible death for horrible death's sake.
Yeah, it really does. And so I think the last 10 minutes are my argument as to why this would fall under the horror genre. Because we just naturally flowed through conversation, and the only thing we've talked about so far is how fucked humanity is and how terrifying the Titans are. We haven't touched on characters, plot, art. All we talked about was the monsters and how scary they are. And I think that's, in my mind, that's why I'm putting it directly into horror or at least apocalyptic future. One of those two. Because except for Eren and Mikasa, I have no clue about any of the characters.
Yeah, so...
I don't even remember the douchebag's name. Not the Titan, the actual douchebag.
Gene. You're
thinking. Gene.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason I know their names is because I've watched the anime. That's one thing that I missed from the show is the level of character development.
Yeah.
I mean, Armin, we barely get him, and he's, he's pretty relevant in the story.
Which one was he?
He's the little blonde friend.
Yeah, okay. I was going to call him blonde, too, but...
No. I mean, there's dark hair, there's the Japanese black hair, which is just shaded in black, and then there's white hair, which is, I think, supposed to be blonde.
Yeah, that's actually the difficulty with this. If you look at, the top 10 of their graduating class, the two girls who are blonde look the same, and then one of them looks like Armin, who's not in the top 10, even though he's a boy.
Armin wasn't in the top... Okay, see, now I'm confused. Because he looked like he was.
Yeah, that's the girl.
Okay.
So in chapter 1... He's the guy that Mikasa and Eren...
the guy that they save. The bookworm guy.
Yeah, from mm-hmm. the, okay. They rescue him from the police.
He's the brains of their operation. Okay. Their little child thug gang.
Yes. Exactly.
And oh my god, these children are fucking thugs. At least Eren is.
Yeah. Oh yeah. A bit.
But yeah, it is really hard to tell characters apart, and it takes a while to get it to where it should be, but it is an ensemble cast. By the end of the series, I think it focuses way more around... by the end of the anime series, season 1, it focuses way more around a variety of people, and it becomes really obvious who people are, but here, it's really about these three characters, and everyone else is... kind of on the wayside, which I think is a weakness if you're going to have an ensemble cast to just introduce three characters like they're the main protagonists.
Mm-hmm. And,
right.
And I, you go into it, at least I went into it thinking, all right, Eren's not going to live. a lot of these characters aren't going to live. The artist/author have set up a sort of expectation with the reader that humanity is pretty well thoroughly screwed, and that even though these characters are going to be top 10 in the class or whatever great they are, but that's just this class of trainees. There are many classes of trainees, and the ones who are good went to the inner city and got fat and lazy, and everybody else, the shitty ones, are probably going to die. So they're kind of self-selecting for mediocrity, which
yeah.
is not a good system. So you know you're probably going to be screwed unless you have people like Eren who are in the top 10 and then also volunteer for the hard job, which is going to be few and far between. And if I know anything about genres like this, that guy dies first. Or maybe not dies first, but he has a rough fucking go of it. That guy does. The guy who is awesome and volunteers to be the awesome bro kind of guy. That guy has a rough go of it. I mean, what happened to Eddard Stark?
Yeah, there's only so much protagonist power can do for you, right?
Yeah, yeah, especially in this kind of genre, this kind of setting, this tone. It's no, it ain't gonna carry you through the entire series.
So, speaking of competence, I want to bring up these characters at the end of this volume are fucking 15. That's 104 years of sending children to fight monsters. Because they're the 104th Training Corps.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Sorry, I should have pointed that one out first. What is this society thinking? Like, let's send kids to fight Titans, and that's a good plan?
I have two thoughts. One, which is in the notes, it's Japan writing this. So, everything has to be about teenagers. The second thought is that this tone is medieval, right? There's very much like a sense of castles, walls, being within the walled city. There's a lot of medieval kind of stuff going on here. And in that culture, yeah, you trained to be a knight when you were 12 and you were out on the battlefield when you were 15 or 16. That's just how shit happened. Because in that situation, in that world, there wasn't a whole lot to learn. And what you were learning, half of it was the church and the other half was heresy. So really, the only thing you need to learn was how to fight. And if you're just learning to fight, we can teach you that by the time you're 15. Get out there on the battlefield. You know how to fight now. And you'll self-select on your own. If you live, you were good. If you died, meh, should have studied harder. So this doesn't feel too far off. These people don't have a ton of concerns, except for fighting Titans. I mean, they've been living for 100 years. They know they can't go outside the wall, so what's the point of learning a whole bunch of stuff about what's out there? You can't go out there. Don't worry about things like geology, plant life, fucking fauna, flora. Like, you don't have to learn any of that stuff. All this stuff's outside the wall. Don't worry about it, you know? There's so much of this society, they don't have to learn fucking anything. Who cares? What they do need to learn is how to fight off Titans. That's what they need to learn. And they can learn that by the time they're 15. It's not that hard. I mean, fighting Titans is hard. Learning how to fight them is not. They kind of got the gist of it at the end of Volume 4. Chapter
4. Kind of.
You slice out the back of the neck and done. That's all I mean.
Yeah, I guess, but that's also the same kind of, like, cultural mindset that landed these people in a position where they've existed like this for 100 years and have no idea what is happening. So.
Yeah, but exactly. It's the self-perpetuity. It's been working for the last 100. It's the same thing that Chapter 1 really goes in depth about. It's been working for 100 years. Why do you want to fuck with it?
Yeah, I mean, they're just interested in surviving, right? Not actually doing anything interesting, I guess.
Yeah, it's actually, I think, a plus to the setting, that there's a bit of mystery there, that they've been a culture for 100 years and they don't know how they got there or why any of this is happening. Like, there's no records of how the wall was built. They just are there. So it's like,
it really makes you think it happened real fast.
Yeah, and 100 years is not a lot of time, so you think someone would have written it down or made a note or told someone what happened, but guess not.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually pretty
it's true.
Excited to find out more about that.
Like, that really wouldn't be, that's only a couple generations.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Like,
Well,
life expectancy would be a lot lower, right?
Well, it's been 100 years since the last attack.
Oh, that's true.
We don't know how long they've actually been behind the
wall. Behind the wall, yeah, that's true. Since the last attack, that's true.
It's totally true.
So let's talk about those characters we didn't care about 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
Okay. So, is Aaron dead? You can spoil it for me.
But I don't want to spoil it for our listeners.
Yeah, I don't want to tell. It's secrets.
Because he's not... Okay, that means he's not dead.
You can take that however you want.
Yeah, you take it.
Because that was, I think, that moment where he... Is there a name for that kid that he throws out of the mouth?
That's Armin.
That's Armin. Okay.
The blonde kid. We talked about him already.
I got him and Jean mixed up a bunch too while I was reading.
They don't even have the same color.
They don't look or act the same.
I don't know.
Jean's the douchey short-haired guy. So if anyone is a douchebag, it's...
It's Jean.
It's Jean, yeah.
Okay. So I think in that moment, Aaron shows why he's not long for this world and why there needs to be more of him.
Well, like, even...
Oh, good.
Oh, sorry, wait. Did you say Aaron?
Yes.
Well, see, Mikasa calls him on it, too. the night we're there doing their training, she says, if I don't stick with you, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah.
And she's not around, and he kills himself, basically.
Puts himself in a dumb situation. Right.
It's not just that. He's bad at what he does. Like, he rushed headfirst into things, and he got his leg bitten off before he ended up in that Titan's mouth, right? Like, he didn't do jack shit. He pulled Armin out of the Titan's mouth and then got swallowed.
Yeah, but he almost single-handedly took down the Colossal Titan. Except for the fact that the thing disappears.
Yeah,
if it didn't do anything. If that Colossal Titan operated the same way that every other Titan that he knew operated and didn't do that thing where it disappeared, he was in position, he was fast enough, he cut where he was supposed to cut. If that Titan operated like every other Titan that he's been told Titans do, then it would be dead.
He was following protocol correctly.
Yeah, and he executed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like, I feel like that's more than a lot of people could do, because they send out troops of 100 for scouting missions and like 20 come back. Right? So I feel like this guy, it has to be somewhat badass to take out the fucking 50 meter tall one all on his own.
Well, and yeah, so I mean, he is in the top 10 of his graduating class, so he deserves some credit for being at least decent.
Mm-hmm.
The interesting thing, though, is in the anime, so that's one thing that surprised me, is that it, like, completely skipped their training.
Yeah.
And in the anime, we get, like, a couple, 2 or 3 episodes of them training.
Mm.
And it's kind of a miracle that Eren graduates at all.
Oh, okay, yeah, because you don't get that sense at all in the manga.
Yeah. They spread it throughout the volumes. Later.
Oh, they do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They put it all together in the anime.
He's okay. Bad. He passes through, like, you know when teachers say you can't get an A for effort?
Yeah.
He got into the top 10 through sheer effort. Like, he can't use vertical maneuvering gear at first, and it turns out, like, his belt's broken and he actually can, but, like, yeah. He's just, like, a fuck-up left and right. I guess it's not as bad as I'm making it sound, but he's nothing like Mikasa, right? She just aces everything. And then there's a bunch of other people who are, like, better than him at this kind of thing, but he just gets through on sheer willpower.
Okay, because you don't get that sense from the manga. You get the sense that Mikasa is a complete fucking badass. When they're all, especially, it's from start to finish, right? Chapter 1, when the gang of kids is beating up on Armin, and then Eren comes up, and they're like, yeah, what the fuck are you going to do about it? And then Mikasa comes around the corner, and they all fucking run. Right? Like, that moment's great. And then you get it later on, too, when everybody's like, is Mikasa going to have to come save you? Because she's the one who does all the fighting, really. And let's face it, she's the real number one in the class. Like, you get the sense through and through that she's the badass. But you don't get the sense that Eren is not also a badass. You get a sense that, like, Eren is, like, power of heart.
Yep.
Not useless by any means. Still, like, a member of the Captain Planet group, you know? But still pretty high up there. But the most useless of that group, you know? Like, okay, in a fight, I would rather face Armin than Eren. I would rather face Jean than Eren. That's what I kind of get from the manga. That might be completely wrong and the way it's going to play out, but from the manga, it's like, Eren's pretty good. He's not the best, but pretty good. It's probably because they completely skipped the training. So you don't get to see any of that. The first thing you see him do after he gets trained is get up on that wall and go toe-to-toe with the Colossal Titan and execute the procedure the way it's supposed to be done. And so it's like, okay, this guy is competent and capable. And that's what your impression is in the manga. So then I'm interested to see how he fucks up in the future. Or I'm interested in the future to see how he fucks up.
I mean, obviously, he's not... He gets eaten, so...
Yeah, it's not so hot. It's a low moment.
The flashbacks and all.
Whatever. So, I do want to say, too, like, Mikasa, as we mentioned, is really strong. But
there's a lot of characters in this show that definitely overshadow him. So when David and I kind of say he's a fuck-up, I don't think it's meant
Wait,
to
Mikasa's
be that
a
strong.
Dude?
Or, sorry, no, Mikasa's not a dude. Mikasa's
okay.
a lady.
Okay, just checking.
A lot of the women in this do look like dudes.
That's terrible.
The art's not, yeah.
There was, I only saw one woman that looked like I could tell immediately that's a woman. Which sounds really sexist of me to say, but like, because
no,
she had
the art's very ambiguous.
I was like,
this.
That person has a ponytail in the way that makes her look like a woman.
But yeah, Aaron's not like such a bad fuck up. It's just there's people who, in this show and manga, like verge on superpower.
Mm.
So you know, it gets a little anime on you, and
okay.
There's comparative things.
Okay. I do have to say, though, the best moment of character building for me in this entire first volume of the manga was when the Titans come attacking after they've graduated, and Jean just starts fucking throwing up. That moment I really liked. Because that could have gone so many ways, and I feel like that's the most realistic way his character, or any, I feel like that's the most realistic way most people would have reacted. Like, are you fucking kidding me? I almost had this wonderful life in the inner city where I don't have to worry about this shit. I was fucking 2 days away. And now I'm going to fucking die. I'm probably going to fucking die because they chose today.
Yeah, what's interesting about that, like you said, it makes it seem a bit kind of realistic because these are just kids and they have to fight. It's not, they're not just fighting in like, I mean, a regular war. I'm using air quotes with regular war.
Yeah.
But,
they're fighting monsters.
Yeah. They're in a messed up situation.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I like that moment because I connected with them. There are those moments when, like, you go into these hero things and they're like, eh, characters like Michonne and Rick in Walking Dead are cool, and characters like Mikasa and Aaron are kind of cool, but I don't know anybody like that. I know people like Jean. I know people like, in the TV show, the person who chose to stay behind at the CDC and die because fuck being in a zombie apocalypse. Like, I identify with those people because really, fuck this, man. Fuck this place.
It's kind of like, what would you do? I mean, most people are not heroes. That's kind of how you define a hero. They're not most people.
Mm-hmm.
So by default, the rest of us are left, you know, crying in fetal positions and vomiting. And I do like that everyone is so unhappy and no one is gung-ho to deal with this except Aaron, because he's a fucking psychopath.
Yes.
But, I don't know, everyone else otherwise seems fairly level-headed in this situation in that they are terrified and it is correct to be so.
Yeah. Well, I also like the juxtaposition for Gene that he was top 10. He should be up there in terms of ability as Mikasa and Aaron, who aren't freaking out. But it doesn't matter that he is apparently this kind of badass. He is scared and does not want to fucking be there.
Well, I mean, historically, too, for them, I don't think that they go into it in this volume too much. But at this point, you know, they don't really have a means of fighting Titans. While 3D maneuvering gear is better than anything else they've ever had.
Yeah,
but most people just die, right? Like, no matter how good you are, you usually just die. And there's a couple people who break that rule. But, and that's more like power of anime, that they're super powered like that, not because it's in any way realistic. So these people are just looking at their deaths, and it's shitty for them.
Mm.
So, should we talk about the art at this point?
Well, I feel like we should. It's not great, you know?
It's real bad.
Yeah. There are... So, I actually do have an interesting point, and it's that the 3D maneuvering gear that we see has all the action lines, and I think it can be really hard to tell what's going on in this. But what's really interesting is, in the anime, the 3D maneuvering gear is some of the best done art in that show. And it's really cool to watch. And it's amazing how something translates so poorly in one medium and so well in another. And I think that's kind of a nice springboard to talk about the limitations of comics when you try to make them, I don't know, follow the same, I guess, visual patterns that you get in video.
Hmm.
Because, I don't know, did you have a good understanding of what was going on with the action from reading this?
No.
And not having seen the show?
Not until I got that exposition page where it said how the system works. Because you get that first scene where you have the scouting troop in the forest, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, like, okay, switch to 3D maneuvering gear now. And I'm like, okay, that's some stupid-sounding bullshit. 3D maneuvering gear is not what they think it means. Like, you keep using that word, but I don't think it means what you think it means, kind of a thing. And then they, like, show close-ups of, like, a hilt, and then people start springing up in the air. And I feel like the close-up is supposed to tell you more than it really does. And the art never successfully translates on its own how the system works. I had no clue what the fuck was going on until that exposition page where it's all explained to you. And then after that, you get the scene of when the Titans attack a second time, and you get Aaron and all of them getting up to the top of the wall, getting hit off the wall, using their gear to cling to the wall, get back up, fight the Colossal Titan. Like, then that all made perfect sense. That action then moved the way it was supposed to. But before that exposition page, no. No fucking clue. But beyond that, I think the biggest problem I had with the art in this manga was the way it moved from frame to frame. There were a lot of awkward transitions and a lot of things that weren't successfully placed in the gutter that needed to be. Like they would get from one panel to the next, and you're like, okay, how did we get there? What? And even... one of the best instances of that is after during that fight with the Colossal Titan, when Aaron's fighting the Colossal Titan. When he gets up there and he's like running at the arm, I think he's supposed to be doing, after it smacks the top of the wall. No, I don't know, but there's missing gaps in that fight that I don't know.
No, I agree with you. I'm actually looking at that scene now, and I know what's happening because I've seen it in video, in motion, but it's really hard to discern from just watching these panels. And I think back to how, I don't know, Cape Comics handled this sort of thing, and we've seen some really, I don't know, some bad stuff, but we've also seen things like those lovely scenes, I think it was Kid Flash, like you see him going around the room and it's so clear, each and every one, and, I'm trying to think of a comic where we've seen really clear action. Oh, when Orion fought.
Oh, Darkseid? Yeah.
Darkseid.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's Walt Simonson art, that's a magnum opus on how to draw a fight, what that comic is.
It sticks to the classic version, though. Like, the Flash thing is more innovative, and I think it doesn't fit the tone for something as dark as Attack on Titan, because it's funnier when you do that sort of thing. But Walt Simonson's art captures that classic tone of having a serious fight, yet does it so cleanly. And I think that's something that we know can be done, obviously, because we've seen it. But here, you know, we're left really wanting that kind of cleanness, and instead we get a lot of lines. And I don't know if I want to criticize the manga author or manga, because this is a standard in the medium, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, I've seen it really well done, but nothing so clean. I don't know, the art here.
It's tough, and I think it's a problem that's exacerbated because the Titans have an almost humanoid proportion. They have longer torsos and longer arms and shorter legs in general. And so that particular scene is made much worse by the proportions of the Titans and the way the arm is long and seems to kind of flail when they throw their arms, like the way that the Titans move does not help this art. Does not help the characters move within the art. If that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
But, all that said, that motherfucker is... the same thing I said at the top of the show, that motherfucker is frightening. It really, really is.
Yeah.
And there's, that's... None of the other ones don't have skin. They've got to be... This is what intrigues me, is because they... Intelligence or not, they're moving toward a goal. Collectively. Something is moving these Titans toward the goal of killing humanity, and not just doing it in a primal drive sort of way. They are adapting and growing into it. And it makes it... That's where the complexity is here for me, is... Otherwise, it is just a horror comic. It is just like a zombie fiction. But there's this level to it. I think it's the same thing when we read the first volume of Walking Dead. It's the same thing that I found interesting there. In that when Rick Grimes went into town simply to reconnoiter the level of intelligence of the zombies. And that's when I realized that, oh my god, you could have zombies that had a level of intelligence. Like, I had no concept of the fact that that was even possible. Until Rick Grimes put it in my mind that you could have zombies that were more than just base, smell, and eat, you know? And so in this moment, like, these Titans are obviously more than just basic instinct, eat humans. They have to be. There's some part of them that is.
It's exciting to learn more about them. I will say that.
I really, as bad as I feel like this manga was, the ideas are good. The world building's good. Which is why David's probably super into it.
I will vouch and say it really does come together. Like, if any of our listeners are having doubts, it... And this has actually been one of the most hated animes of, like, 2013. Not because I think necessarily people dislike it, but because it's become the cool thing to hate. Because it's so popular. So you're going to get on the internet and find a lot of people being like, this is the dumbest shit ever. But I think...
That's annoying.
Of course, some of that's, like, legit. But some of it, you know, I think is people just saying that because so many other people enjoy it.
Okay. So it's not, like, quality hate. It's more like Red Wedding hate.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are some very legitimate criticisms of this series. I will definitely say that. But I think overall it's been well liked, and I think there's a good reason for that. But I can't say anymore because once I open that spoiler floodgate, it ain't gonna stop. Oh, it's so hard to talk about this because I know things and I can't discuss those things.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel. I felt that when we read One Piece for the show. I was like, oh my god, but Kobe, Kobe.
Oh man.
Kobe's gonna become such a badass. I can't even tell you how. Strongest of all hockey.
It's a hard feeling.
Yes, yeah. Alright, let's get down and rate this bad boy.
How?
I will go first, because I haven't seen or read anything else about Attack on Titan. I'm going to give this a straight up 2.5. Because for everything that I really like about it, in terms of world building, the actual terrifyingness of the Titans, but the fact that what's more frightening than the Titans is the complete ignorance of the society, which ties back around to the world building, and how this premise is wonderfully self-contained and self-perpetuating. These people don't ask any questions. Because all they want to do is survive, and because all they want to do is survive, they don't bother to learn anything, and because they don't bother to learn anything, they don't ask any questions. And it's this wonderful loop that is in the civilization, in the culture of this manga. I really, really like that stuff. But on the flip side, these characters are woefully underdeveloped. There's pretty much nothing that happens here except for... oh no, damn, sometimes your mother dies. You know? And you get the two moments. I feel like there's two moments when you connect with characters at all. It's when Jean vomits, and when the guy who rescued Aaron and Mikasa said that I just didn't have the balls to stay. I didn't have the balls. Sorry, kids. I was standing there, and I was like, well, I could help rescue your mother or run the fuck away, and I chose to run the fuck away. Those two moments, I feel like that's the best character development you get here. But that's not really a whole lot, because I don't think I ever... I don't remember. No, we did run into that scout guy again, didn't we? No.
Wait, which one? Sorry.
The guy who saves Aaron and Mikasa when their mother is getting eaten.
Yeah, he...
we run into him.
When they're sitting after the party, after their graduation.
He's the guy
party.
That comes up.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and
they
salute
okay. him.
Okay, got it. So, but that guy is obviously not a primary character in this volume, and so for him to get that kind of development, it's like, that's a wonderful scene and a really good moment, but character doesn't really, like, you didn't build Aaron, you didn't build Mikasa, you built this guy. You know, and we talked enough about the art and the pacing. So for everything I love about this comic, there are fundamental things that are just wrong with it. But 2.5 levels out perfectly even in my mind. And the stuff I like about this comic is the stuff that's going to make me drive to watch more. And definitely watch more because I don't like the way that action is moved in this, which is part of the reason it gets a 2.5. But thank God we're watching the anime next week. So who's next? Volunteer.
I'll go next.
Yeah.
I'm also going to give it a 2.5. It's not a great manga, but you know, it has a lot of, as Andy said, there's a lot of good endearing qualities. You're right, Andy, that I did enjoy the world building. I mean, that will sell a comic to
that's
me.
That's just your jam.
Yeah, that's why I love things like Star Wars and Star Trek and stuff, because there's just a big, it's a big, cool universe that. That can be explored as a reader or watcher. And so in the case of Attack on Titan, you know, in the manga we kind of understand the situation, at least from the perspective of the people within these walls. And it leaves a lot of room for, you know, new stuff. And so that kind of thing will keep me engaged in the story, even though, like, you know, Andy, I agree with you, the art wasn't great. I wish there was more character development. You know, we spent a lot of time with Aaron, but I feel like, you know, we don't know that much about him still. So, you know, it's good, but it's not great. And, if somebody asked me, should they check out Attack on Titan, I would say yes, check out the manga. You know, if you like manga. If you're not a big manga fan, but you're interested in Attack on Titan, I'd say watch the anime. If you're interested in Attack on Titan, but you're not a big manga fan, watch the anime. Yeah. So yeah, 2.5. It's, and you know, that's average. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
All right. Jen?
Okay, so I've come to the conclusion that I cannot objectively rate this in perspective of everything, you know, just like the general stuff we've read. And I do acknowledge that this volume is not very good. So I'm going to rate this volume in relation to the rest of the series as it has been published so far.
Okay.
And in that case, I'm giving it a 2.
Okay.
This is the weakest volume out of the 11 official English volume releases by Kodansha that are out right now. The art is not strong. The character development doesn't highlight very well the fact that we actually have a very strong ensemble cast in this series, and it is slow. I mean, okay, granted, we only read 4 issues, which is actually, if you think about it, very short compared to most of what we read, because most weeks we read like 6 or 7 issues, and a lot of this is action panels where we see things happening, but if you actually took the essence of what happened, it'd be very petite compared to, you know, most trades that we pick up. But I will say... the series as a whole
I would give a 5. Like, and I'm just talking the manga. Volumes 9 and 10 are like shit your pants awesome. I don't know. I did not shit myself. I will tell you that, readers, listeners. But they were really fucking good. Oh my god. I don't know why that symbol came to mind, or metaphor came to mind. Anyway. Anyway. I'm going to be using that one a lot more now. I like it.
I just don't know. I love that you had to tell people. Don't worry, though. I didn't actually shit my pants.
Maybe someone out there needs reassurances that reading this manga will not actually make you crap yourself. But no, really. This volume's weak, but the series is very good. I am very excited to watch the anime next week. The animation's a little strange compared to, I think, the traditional things that we tend to see, but it's interesting in a good way. And, yeah, so take that, too, with the grain of salt, that it's in relation to everything else in a series that I have rated a 5 as a whole, if that makes sense. I don't even know how to put this in terms of comparing it to my general comic knowledge, because I know too much at this point, and it's too hard. So, yeah.
Sick. So, yeah, like we've said, next week, then, we're going to do the anime episodes 5 to 8. And I'm excited for this because I think it's going to fix a lot of the problems that I have with the manga. Things like transition, movement, pacing. It's a lot of that will just get fixed by the fact that it's animated. There are no gutters in illustration. If you want a guy to get from point A to point B, you have to show him doing it. No gutters. Fixes a lot of problems I've got with this. So that's going to be exciting. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm especially looking forward to the overlap of episode 5 being essentially chapter 4. So we'll have a nice direct comparison there, and then we'll launch off from there. So anyway, that's next week. If you want to find out what we have coming up after that, go to www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. You'll find out that we have a Fantastic Four series coming up. And if you have a suggestion for what we should do after that, or if you have a suggestion for what we should do during our Fantastic Four series, if it's not one that we're already doing, we can add another one. Why not? We can make a four-part four series. I don't know. I have to come up with a better thing for that. Good catchy name. I was going to say snatchy name, but I knew that was wrong. So if you have that suggestion, you can go ahead and send us an email at
AtomicPoweredSupercast@gmail.com.
And there's always the social media options as well. Facebook.com/APSupercast, Twitter.com/APSupercast, and APSupercast.tumblr.com. And you know what I discovered that I do? Is I always slur the Facebook.com/APSupercast. Like, even though I always mumble that, and then I over-enunciate the unimportant part of Twitter. Ah, self-reflection. And as always, please subscribe to us on
iTunes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
The Titans are coming.